turn with me to Luke's Gospel, and we're going to be looking at, Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to be looking at Matthew, and it'll be chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had heard privily, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, when they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Father, as we come before you this afternoon, we pray that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the truths you would have for us. Lord, help us to see that once again, you are the one that's in control, not men. And Father, that you orchestrated events as you had foretold through prophets in the past. And Lord, we pray now that you just speak to us in your word and help us to be encouraged by it. And this we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a number of interesting things going on in this particular text. As we mentioned, a lot of times you don't see exact dates or times or lengths of times given in here. One of the things is we don't know how much time has come exactly from the birth of Jesus until this event occurs. It doesn't tell us. We know that time has transpired, because, first of all, at the end of this text we read this afternoon, you see that Mary and Joseph were now in a house. They weren't in the stable. And so they found some place to live. We also know that some other events had occurred, and those events are referred to in the text in Luke's Gospel, where we know that Mary and Joseph, on the eighth day after Jesus' birth, took him to the temple, because that was according to the law that had been given to Moses. After the eighth day, a boy was to be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. And Mary and Joseph, being devout, did exactly what the law commanded them to do. And so they took Jesus to the temple on the eighth day. So we know they were still in Jerusalem. We also know they were still there after 41 days, because it says that Mary was considered unclean because she had given birth to a boy. And because she was unclean, she had to go through the process of cleansing. There was a ritual process that had been given in the law when a woman gave birth to a son, that it would be 33 days that would take place after the son was circumcised. And then that would be the rite of purification would be culminated on the 41st day. And that would be done with a sacrifice that was given at the temple. That's recorded in Luke's Gospel. And we also know from that they were not wealthy. And we know that probably after 41 days, they had not, the wise men hadn't visited him in that time yet, because it says that they offered a dove or a pigeon as their sacrifice. The sacrifice was supposed to be a lamb, but a lamb was expensive. And the scriptures allowed, if you didn't have the money, that you could offer this bird in the place of a lamb for those that didn't have the money to purchase a lamb. And we see that that's what they offered. So, but we know if the wise men would have been there, they would have had some money, because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they hadn't been there yet. So we're given a picture here that that there is, at least after 8 days, they probably were in the house, wherever they were. They were staying in Jerusalem. If Jesus, in fact, was born in the spring or the fall, which it probably was born then, they would have been about the time of one of the feasts, either the spring feast or the fall feast, the fall feast being Sukkot, or the Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, spring feast being Passover. Either one, they would have stayed in Jerusalem for those feasts. In all likelihood, that those are kind of the time frames that we're dealing with. Now we come to the text here. We see some interesting things. First of all, the Magi come from the east. It doesn't tell us what country they come from, but the description of them is Magi. Probably would mean that they would come from the area, as I mentioned last Sunday afternoon, they would come probably from the area of what now is Iraq, what would have been the land of the Chaldeans, and would have been the land of the Medes and the Persians. Today, we know a lot of what's going on in that part of the world, because the land of the Persians, which is today Iran, and the land of the Medes, which is northern Iraq, which is where today the Kurds are the Medes, and the Iranians are the Persians. And it's very interesting to see that they're still, those people are still there. A lot of Bible scholars believe that these probably were of the Mede descent, and would have found out this information probably because, remember, who came to the Medes and the Persians prior to Israel coming back into the land and had been revealed about when the Messiah was going to come and when he would arrive on the scene? That was Daniel. And Daniel had been high up in the Mede and the Persian government. There would have been, those would have been wise men, would have been those that would have been, like Daniel, consultants to the king of the Medes, and it would have been those that would have been wise in the events that are going on. And remember, even when Daniel was in Babylon, he was considered one of the wise men. The only thing is, he was getting his wisdom from the Lord. The other guys were getting theirs from either their own thoughts or from Satan, and their prophecies never came through, and Daniel's did. And so Nebuchadnezzar always wanted to listen to Daniel. And later on, during Darius, when he went to work for Darius, and then at the time of Cyrus, Daniel's words would have been there and incorporated, as these other people would have seen that Daniel had prophecies that had come true. So that is probably where initially they were looking for this Messiah. God may supernaturally have revealed to them that he would have signs, astrological signs in the sky showing that the Messiah was coming through in the form of stars, a special star, and that would have been revealed to them. If in fact they were high up in the Medo-Persian government, if you look at what was happening, I mentioned a little bit about this last Sunday afternoon, what was happening in the Medo-Persian government versus Rome, there was still strife between the two. The Medes and the Persians had declined in their power because Rome had risen up and taken over most of the world. But they still had visions of having power. Now, one of the things, as I mentioned last week, Israel stands at the crossroads and has always been a significant place And it's one reason God chose Israel, because it goes to three continents, and you can get the gospel to three directions. You can have things go out quickly to Europe, Asia, and Africa through Israel. And so the promise is dealing with Israel, and God is really the center of that portion of the world, and that's where God has established that he would rule and reign when he comes and rules and reigns on earth. He's going to rule from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's in the center of Israel. So all of this activity is centering around Israel, and as I mentioned last week, the Medes and the Persians, if they found out that there was supposed to be a king that would be rising up in Israel that would have the authority of God resting on his shoulders, they would probably want to identify with that king in relation to the Roman Empire, and they would have come. Now, the scriptures, as you can read all through the scriptures, and you will never find there are three wise men. It doesn't tell you how many there are. There could have been two, because it says wise men. So we know there's more than one. But we don't know there's three. The way that three came about is they presented three gifts to him. But those are three gifts that could have been presented, signifying, as we said, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were gifts that would be given to someone in authority, someone in power, someone who was a king. And they also signified, they had special significance in relation to Christ's authority as prophet, priest, and king, and the one who would die for his people, the myrrh being signifying that, and the gold and the frankincense signifying his authority as a king, and his also the fact that he was a priest. Now, as you're looking at all of those things, there are some Bible scholars that believe that they could have come with a large contingent that would have traveled with them. And that is in all likelihood possible, because that's the way you traveled in those days, especially if you were coming as higher up people from the Middle East. You wouldn't travel by yourself typically. Just like today, if our president goes somewhere, president just doesn't go with himself and a couple guards. There's a whole contingency that goes with them, and you see when they get to the place they're going, there's car after car after car of all these people that attend him, Secret Service men to protect him and all these things. It would be similar in those days. There are also a couple other keys to something like that probably did happen that are given in the scripture. It says all Jerusalem was troubled. Well, why would they be troubled? And the term here, troubled, means that there was anxiety in the city. And not only were they troubled, Herod was greatly troubled. Now, we know that Herod, as we said before, was someone who was very paranoid about his authority. And if he heard there was someone who was being born who was going to be the true king of Israel, guess what Herod knew? He was not the true king of Israel. We talked about that before. He'd been appointed by the Caesars. It had been given to him as a position of authority. He had no right to the throne of Israel, and it wasn't his. He'd taken it through deal-making. He was a politician of his day and did whatever he could to gain power and authority. So that would trouble him. But also, if we saw a whole contingency of the Medes and the Persians, who were probably one of the last groups of people that presented much of a threat to the Roman Empire, showing up with a contingency of guards and soldiers in Israel, it probably would trouble the people of the city as well as cause even more trouble to Herod. What are they up to? And why do they want to see this king? And what's this all about? So these are the circumstances that are surrounding this. The second thing is, looking back at the timelines, we don't know specifically the timelines because not all. I've given you the dates that we do know: the 8 days till his circumcision, the 41 days till Mary's purified, the fact that they'd stay in Israel till that time. We also know that Herod had babies killed up to 2 years old. Now, how did he arrive at 2 years old? Well, how long does it take to get on horseback from northern Iraq, if that's where they came from, or towards Iran, if that's where they came from that part of the world on horseback, you'd be traveling probably about 500 or 600 miles on horseback. You don't do that overnight. And they would have started out, and so we don't know when they were shown this sign. The Lord could have shown them the sign before Jesus was born. So they would have started before Christ was born. That could have very well happened. We do know that Jesus had to have been born before 3 BC, according to historical accounts of when Herod died, because Herod died at the end of 4 BC. And Herod, when he died, his son took over the throne. But Herod the Great is the one that was seeking to have the babies killed. So Jesus would have been born before the end of 4 BC, because that's historically when we know Herod died. So now, if Jesus was born before BC, he could have been born either in the spring or the fall of 4 BC, if he was, according to scripture, where he was born during the Zacharias' term of being in the temple, and he would have been born, and when you do the math after that, he would have either been born in the spring during the time of the Passover, or in the fall during the time of the Feast of the Trumpets. Either case, if he would have been born in the spring of that year, he would have been just about a year old by the time Herod had the babies killed. And Herod may have determined, well, these guys started out, and if he was born when they started out, it's taken them, a year or year and a half to get here, he could be a two-year-old baby. That is how I think that they'll look at the scripture, how perhaps Herod arrived at, let's kill all the babies 2 years and under. Who are these babies that he killed? Well, it talks about the fact that he killed the babies that were in Bethlehem and the region around them, the cities around them. A lot of times we think that there was hundreds of babies that were killed. There probably weren't hundreds, but any baby that's killed is a great loss to its parents. Some Bible scholars think the size of Bethlehem, it could have probably been maybe 26 babies that were killed in Bethlehem itself, plus others around there. It could have been, 100 babies. But it's a lot of families that have their children killed by this madman to try and prevent this king from coming. But let's just take a look specifically at some of the events that transpired here, giving you a little background there. Herod, first coming, the Jews, or the wise men, go where? Now, where it's logical that they go expecting a king to be at the palace, right? You go into a city and a country, the king would be at the palace. So that's where they go. And they go to Herod. We're here to find the new king of Israel. Well, I'm the acting king of Israel. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard these things. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. Now it's interesting that Herod, even though he didn't believe the Bible himself, the first place he looks is to gather the priests together and say, what does it say in the scriptures? What does God talk about his son? It's interesting, a lot of people today don't believe in the Bible and don't believe in God. Yet, even in America, after 9/11, what was the first thing they did? God help us. The first place you turn to, oftentimes, when you're troubled, when you've got things you don't know, is to God. Herod was like that too. Even later on, during Jesus' ministry, when he was brought before Herod, Herod was really excited when Jesus was brought before Herod at the time of his trials, at the end of his ministry, because Herod said, oh good, now he's coming, now he can do some miracles for me. And he wanted Jesus to perform miracles. It's like Herod knew there was a God, believed there was a God, but didn't want to worship the God. And, well, that would have been Herod's son, would have been the second Herod. I apologize. But it's the same philosophical attitude that they possessed when Jesus came before him. And it's an example of how they know where to go to look, but they don't want to follow and believe. And that was Herod. Where did he go, do? He went to the priests. Herod the Great went to the priests to find out who Jesus was and where he was born. And the priests told him that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And Micah, the prophet, had foretold this. Then Herod, when he had heard, privily called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to know the ages of when Jesus would have been born. Figuring when the star appeared, that's probably when he was born. And it may or may not have been, like I said, God may have allowed the star to appear to them before they, when they first started on their journey, because it would take some time to get there. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child where the young child was. And again, who is in control? God's in control. God can control the stars of the heaven. We know that God has done this in the past. When delivering the nation of Israel, he controlled the earth. He controlled the waters of the Red Sea. He did different things throughout history, and he did this at the time of Jesus' birth, giving a special sign in the sky which these men could interpret and read, knowing that this was the place. So it came over Bethlehem. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And here we see the adoration of the child by the kings of the east. And we know that Jesus truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and even when he came as a baby, they acknowledged who he was. What's amazing to me is you have all these events transpiring around the birth of Christ, the shepherds proclaiming as the angels foretold or proclaimed his birth, and the shepherds going out singing and proclaiming that the Messiah had come. You have Mary keeping these things in her heart, as we saw this morning, understanding what the angels had told her. You see now all Jerusalem troubled as they're told about this. You see these wise men showing up and falling down and worshiping him, and yet you see that the whole nation of Israel, to a large extent, still doesn't acknowledge him. And even later on in his life, when he comes and Jesus begins his ministry and does miracles that reveal he's the Messiah, and his teachings show that he is, can only be speaking as God, yet they don't acknowledge it. And it just shows the hard-heartedness of man and how that they can have the truth right before them and yet they don't want to receive the truth and don't want to worship the Lord. Well, God reveals to them to go a different way. And the reason they go a different way is because Herod had evil thoughts. He had no intent in worshiping the child. He had fully intended to kill him. This, as I mentioned, is Satan's goal, to always stop the Messiah from fulfilling his what God had sent him to do. And now that he couldn't stop him the first time, guess what? He wants to stop him from being able to fulfill his promises the second time that he would appear. And why is Israel hated so much? Because God says he's still got some things in store for Israel. One of them is that a minority of the Jewish people will be alive when Jesus comes a second time, but those that are alive will accept him as their Lord and Savior. And we also know that there are a number of other things that must be fulfilled, or Jesus wouldn't be who Jesus is, and God wouldn't be who God is. And Satan tries to keep that from happening. Same thing here. He tried to keep it from happening. But who's in control? God's in control. And God is greater than even King Herod. He's greater than the Roman Empire. He's greater than any physical parts of his universe, because he created all things. He stands above all things. And he knows the beginning from the end. And he has made his means of salvation for man that culminated with Jesus' birth and or began with Jesus' birth and is culminated at the cross of Christ with the resurrection, and that his plan of salvation is complete. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Help us to see how these things are applied in your word and through your word. And Father, help us to learn from them. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.